Music Doodoo Classical Bedtime presents Claude Debussy and the Puddle of Light. Claude was 5 years old when he realised something strange. He was crouched on a Paris sidewalk, staring at a puddle. But he wasn't actually looking at the water. He was looking at the way the afternoon light made the mud look like melted gold. The way the reflection of the sky turned the dirty street into a window to another world. Everyone else walked past and saw a mess, something to step around. Claude saw a masterpiece. That music you just heard, it's called Clair de Lune, French for moonlight. Not a song about the moon. Not, I saw the moon last night. Just moonlight, the thing itself, the silvery glow that pours through your window when you can't quite fall asleep. Claude Debussy didn't want to tell you about the moon. He wanted his music to be the moon. Cool and pale and quiet, making everything look a little bit magical. But here's the problem. When Claude was growing up, music wasn't supposed to work that way. And that meant Claude Debussy was about to become a rebel. Claude grew up in a house filled with the smell of old paper and the constant clink, clink, clink of the china dishes his father sold. Teacups, saucers, delicate things with straight lines and careful patterns. It was a world of rules. Don't touch, don't run, don't make a mess. But Claude's mind was made of curves and mist. While other children ran and shouted, Claude would stop in the middle of the street to watch sunlight bounce off a window. He'd stare at ripples in a fountain until his mother came to drag him away by the collar. "What are you looking at?" she'd ask, exasperated. Claude couldn't explain. He wasn't looking at the water. He was looking at how the water made everything else look, all wibbly and shimmery and impossible to hold on to. When Claude grew up and went to music school, he learned the rules. Rule 1. Every piece must have a clear beginning, middle, and end. It must march forward. 1, 2, 3, 4. Like soldiers on parade. Rule 2. Certain notes belong together. Others are forbidden. Playing them would sound wrong. Rule 3. Music must tell a story. It must have a point. It must go somewhere. Claude listened to the rules. He learned to follow them. And then he decided to break every single one. One afternoon, Claude wandered into an art gallery in Paris, and what he saw on those walls changed everything. These paintings were different from anything in museums. They weren't sharp and clear like photographs. They were blurry, fuzzy at the edges, full of dots and dashes of colour that didn't quite connect. Up close, they looked like a mess, just blobs of blue and purple and pink splattered on canvas. But when you stepped back, suddenly you saw water lilies floating on a pond, a sunrise bleeding orange across a misty river, dancers twirling in a haze of golden stage lights. These were the Impressionist painters. Artists who didn't try to paint things exactly as they looked. They painted impressions, feelings, glimpses, memories that were already fading like dreams when you wake up. Claude stood in that gallery, his heart pounding. That's what I want to do, he thought, but with sound. Think about it this way. A camera takes a photograph of a tree. Every leaf sharp and clear and exactly in place. But is that how you remember a tree? Or do you remember the way the wind felt moving through the branches, the smell of the bark, the dappled shadows dancing on your face, everything swirled together like colours mixing on a painter's palette. That's what the Impressionists painted. Not the thing itself, but the feeling of the thing, the impression it left on your heart. And Claude was going to play it on a piano, even if every teacher in Paris said it was wrong. One day at a big World's Fair in Paris, Claude heard music that made him forget to breathe. It came from musicians on the island of Java, far, far away across the ocean. They played instruments Claude had never seen. Rows of bronze bowls that rang like bells. Shimmering gongs that hummed and sang. Wooden bars that pattered like rain on a roof. The music didn't march forward like European music. It floated. It circled. It went round and round like ripples spreading on a pond. Claude went back to hear them day after day, and when he went home, he didn't try to copy the Javanese music. Instead, he let it seep into his imagination, like watercolours bleeding into wet paper. That piece you just heard, Pagodes, is his musical painting of faraway temple bells echoing through misty mountains. Thank you.
his music teachers were furious. "You're breaking all the rules," they shouted. "Those notes don't belong together. Where's the melody? Where's the march? This isn't music. It's a mess." They wanted soldiers on parade. Claude gave them clouds drifting past the moon. They wanted a clear path from beginning to end. Claude gave them a winding garden where you could wander and get lost. Most students would have given up, changed their music, followed the rules like everyone else. But Claude remembered the puddle of light on that Paris sidewalk. He remembered how everyone else saw a mess, but he saw magic. He kept playing. He kept breaking rules. He kept painting with sound. And one day, the world started to listen.
Have you ever been caught in the rain? Not a gentle drizzle, but a real rain. Fat drops pelting down, splashing in puddles, drumming on rooftops until you can't hear yourself think. Debussy painted that! This piece is called Jardin sous la pluie, Gardens in the Rain. Before you listen, here's what to notice. Some raindrops fall fast and light, like tiny fingers tapping on a window. Others are big and heavy, splashing into puddles. And underneath it all, there's a brave little melody, a tune pushing through the storm, refusing to be washed away. Close your eyes and feel the rain fall. Could you feel it? The wet leaves, the drumming on the roof, the way the air smells when rain is falling on warm stone. A piano is just wood and wire and little felt hammers. It shouldn't be able to make you feel the dampness of a garden or the way a storm cloud smells before it breaks. But Debussy doesn't use the piano like a tool. He uses it like a magic wand, blurring the edges of the notes until they stop being sounds and start being feelings, memories, dreams you can almost touch. That's what impressionism is. The music suggests, the music hints, and your imagination paints the rest. Now, let me tell you about someone who changed Claude completely. Someone who turned the great rebel into the gentlest daddy in all of Paris. Her name was Claude Emma, but everyone called her Choo Choo. That's a French nickname that means something like little darling, the kind of name you call someone you love so much you could just squeeze them. Choo Choo was Debussy's daughter, and when she was only 3 years old, this great rebel, this rule breaker who had battled every teacher in Paris, sat down at his piano and wrote a whole collection of pieces just for her. He called it Children's Corner. Think about that. The man who fought against every rule in music surrendered completely to a three-year-old girl with messy hair and a stuffed elephant named Jimbo. That lullaby you just heard, he wrote it for Jimbo, Choo Choo's toy elephant who was too sleepy to play. That silly bouncy music is called Gollywog's Cakewalk. Gollywog was another of Choo Choo's toys, a floppy stuffed doll with a big grin. And a cakewalk is a funny kind of strutting dance. Can you picture a floppy doll doing a proud little strut, puffing out its chest, wiggling its arms? That's what the music sounds like. Debussy wrote 6 pieces for Children's Corner. Each one is a tiny painting of something from Choo Choo's world, her toys, her games, her dreams. And one of them might be the most beautiful musical painting he ever made. It's a painting of something you can't hold in your hands, something that's everywhere and nowhere, something so light it vanishes the moment you try to touch it. Snow. The snow is dancing. Thousands of tiny snowflakes spinning and swirling outside Choo Choo's nursery window. Not a blizzard, something softer. A gentle snow that makes the whole world hold its breath. Listen to those quick little notes in the high part of the piano, each one a snowflake catching the winter light, tumbling through the air. They never quite land. They never stop. They just keep dancing, dancing, dancing. Debussy isn't playing every snowflake. That would be impossible. He's playing the feeling of snowflakes. The flutter, the sparkle, the dizzy whirl of winter magic falling past your window. Did you notice all those pauses? Those moments where the music just stops and breathes. Most composers would fill every second with sound, but Debussy understood something his teachers never did. Sometimes silence is the music. The empty space between notes is like the white space in a painting. It lets you wander. It lets you dream. It lets the picture slowly come into focus, like mist clearing from a window. Claude Debussy died in 1918 in Paris, while the city trembled with distant thunder. He was only 55 years old. But his music never stopped drifting through the world, soft and shimmering like moonlight on water, like snow falling past a child's window. So the next time you see sunlight sparkle on a puddle, or watch snowflakes tumble past your window, or stare at the moon through heavy, sleepy eyes, try to hear it. What colour is the light? What does the silence taste like? What would it feel like to paint that moment? Not sharp and clear, but soft and blurry, like a dream you're trying to remember. That's what Debussy would want you to wonder. That's the gift he gave us. Music that doesn't march or shout or demand. Music that floats. Music that suggests. Music that lets your imagination fill in all the beautiful, impossible colours. Close your eyes now. Let your thoughts grow heavy. Let the moonlight wash over you like velvet, like mist, like the softest snow. And drift, drift, drift away.